And thank you, Jesus, for the ultimate freedom of all. Amen? The freedom that we have from sin and bondage. Once I came to know Christ as my Lord and Savior, I've never experienced freedom prior to that like I have since. I've always felt free to pray anytime I needed to, anywhere I needed to share Christ anywhere I needed to, anytime I needed to. God gives us that power. Amen. So this morning I want to share with you. Have your Bibles with you. I want you to open again with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans in the 12th chapter. We were here last week and we're going to continue this week and a little bit next week. So just mark your place there, okay? Last week we made a statement. You are not what you think you are, but what you think you are. You are, right? You're not what you think you are, but what you think you are. Ralph Waldo Emerson put it this way. He said, you are what you think all day long. The more you think about yourself in whatever way you think yourself, that's really what you become. So last week we talked about this renewing of our minds. We talked about the fact that the role of our mind, the role that our mind plays in our life. We have this natural mind, this fleshly mind, but God's given us this spiritual mind. And then we talked about restricting of the mind. He says, do not be conformed. There's things that we should not allow our minds, directions and thoughts that we should not allow our minds to be swayed by. We shouldn't give in to pressure from the outside. We ought to gather our minds, to guard our minds. And then we left off with this renewing of the mind. It's that adjustment of the moral and the spiritual vision and the thinking of the mind, placing that thinking on the things of God. Those things that transform our lives. Those things that are transforming in our life. It's a renewing or a renovation, if you will, of a person into to a different being that God wants you to be. It's taking off the old man and it's putting on the new man. And this is where I want to kind of pick up today. We talked about the fact that we need to renew our minds. And so the obvious question is then, well, that sounds good. That sounds exactly what I need. But how do I do that? Right? How do we do that? It's easy to say, well, I'm going to be renewed in my mind, but how do I renew my mind? So today I want to speak to you about the process of renewing your mind. He says here in verse 2, he says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you look up the word renew, whether you look it up in Webster or whether you look it up in some Greek dictionary, the word means to be renovated. It's the idea of renovating something old and changing it into something new. So when the Bible says to renew your mind, it's talking about a complete renovation or a replacement of what was formerly present in your mind. Ron and I have been in the process of renovating a house with the help of several of you. And it is a process, right? It's not something that you just do. Amen, Steve? It's not just something that happens overnight, all those kind of things. And listen, our old mind needs to be renovated. Listen, our old mind, think about this, our old mind chose to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? That's where our old mind went. And so our new mind, we have to get rid of that desire for that tree of knowledge and evil, and we have to develop an appetite for the tree of life. It's a change. It's a change. If you've ever tried to change your eating habits, It can be hard, right? I read an article just yesterday, read the headline, and it said, I gave up eating sugar for 60 days. This is how it changed my life. And my first thought is, what idiot would want to give up eating sugar for 60 days, right? I thought, well, and I don't know that I want my life to change like that, right? So eating habits, it takes time, and it has that effect on our life. So one of the things that I've learned about renovations always cost more than you think they will. Can I get a witness? Amen? And here's the second thing I've learned about renovations. Renovations take longer than you ever thought they would take. Can I get a witness? Okay? So, when we think about renewing our minds, I want you to buckle up for this, okay? It's going to cost you more than you probably thought that it would cost you. And it's going to take you a lot longer than you thought it was going to take you. So this morning, let's think about this. Let's think about, first of all, this process. Notice, first of all, this process is a disciplined process. A spiritual discipline. It requires spiritual disciplines like praying and fasting and reading. That those spiritual disciplines are designed in order to bring about a renewal, to bring about a renovation, to bring about a transformation. You see, a renewed mind doesn't just happen. You have to have a plan. It has to be intentional. Albert Einstein said this. He said, the world we have created is a product of our thinking. It cannot be changed without changing our thinking. A lot of what happens in our world today is the fruit of our thinking. And until we start thinking differently, our world will never change. It starts in the mind of men thinking differently. So how do we apply this discipline then in this process? It's kind of three steps. First step is this. Track your thoughts. Okay, if you're taking notes, track your thoughts. Keep a track of it. I had a guy that I worked with many years ago, and he was having some health problems, and he was overweight and all these kind of things, and so he went to the doctor, and the doctor told him, said, I want you to write down everything you put in your mouth this week. And this guy was from down around Lafayette. He said, you know that I'm a Cajun. And so they said, yeah, I want you to write down everything you put in your mouth. Now, that's hard to write down. You know, I come home sometimes and I'll say something, you know, been trying to lose a little weight here or there, you know, whatever. And Ron will say, well, what'd you have to eat today? I said, well, all I had was a little sandwich there at lunch, you know. And, you know, I ate four cookies, you know, kind of between breakfast and lunch. And then there was that cake that somebody left at the church, you know. And before you know it, it was more than just that little sandwich I'd eaten, right? So keeping track of things is hard to do sometimes. So here's the challenge. Begin to track your thoughts. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? You know, sometimes we do things and I go, what was I thinking? And it's obvious you weren't thinking, right? And so think about what you're thinking to track that. Here's what the psalmist says in Psalms 23 and verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So let's track our thoughts. What about our past mistakes? What about our sins? What about abuses? Maybe we have this victim mentality. Maybe there's these defining moments in our life. And as we think about those things, those thoughts keep looping through our minds, then they determine the direction of our life. So we need to give some thought to this. What is it that I think about? What is it that consumes my mind? What is it that I'm constantly obsessed with? In my prayers, oftentimes I would pray, Lord, you know my thoughts. Lord, you know what keeps me awake at night. Lord, you know what wakes me up in the morning. But then I realized the question is, God knows what I'm thinking. But do I know what I'm thinking? See, I want to be aware of what I'm thinking so that my thinking is positive, so that my thinking is on the things of Christ and not on the things of this old earthly world. Experts believe that we think, listen to this, some of you are going to be amazed with yourself. Experts believe that we think somewhere between 60 and 80,000 thoughts per day. 60 and 80,000 thoughts per day go through our minds. That's somewhere between 25 and 3,500 thoughts an hour. That's a lot of thinking. Now I'm looking at some of you here and I'm thinking, somebody's got to be thinking a whole lot more because they're not. And if on average we're all thinking this, then somebody's pulling their load, right? Now listen, there's a lot of thoughts that go through our minds. And we need to track those thoughts. What are you hearing? What are you thinking? What are you believing? Think about your thoughts this morning. Are they constructive? Or do you find yourself often thinking destructive things? Or are your thoughts selfish? Or do your thoughts tend to be more selfless? When you think about your thought, do you think more on the things of this world? Or do you think more on the things of God? Are your thoughts more in this insecure vein? Or are they more in the secure vein of God? Do you have fears? Do you have worries, insecurities? Or do you really have great trust and great faith in God? So what do you think? How do you think? It's important that you track your thoughts. And then as you begin to track your thoughts, second step then is to take captive your thoughts. To take captive those thoughts. Begin to control those thoughts. Here's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you want to look there with me. In 2 Corinthians, in the 10th chapter, notice what he says here in verse 3. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled. Just because a thought pops in your mind doesn't mean that you have to act on it or that you have to believe it. Of those 60 to 80,000 thoughts that go through my mind every day, they're not all good thoughts. And I have to be able to filter those thoughts and say, wait a minute, that's not a good thought. That's not a godly thought. And I have to take that thought captive and say, God, remove that from my mind. Okay? So we have to be willing to track those thoughts. And then as we track those thoughts, when we identify those thoughts as thoughts being ungodly, insecure, fear, worry, selfish, worldly, destructive, then we take those thoughts captive and say, God, I don't want this thought. You take it, God, and give it to Him. I spent some time growing up in Missouri. Missouri is known as the Show Me State. There's a saying in Missouri that says, believe half of what you see and none of what you hear. That ought to be some good words of wisdom for many of you this morning. Even in the church, we need to take captive those thoughts. We don't need to buy everything that's being sold. We don't need to believe everything that's being told, okay? There's a lot of stuff. Sometimes we just need to take those thoughts captive and go, wait a minute. That doesn't even make sense to me. And make up our own minds. That's why I quit listening to the news. I found out I wasn't listening to the news. I was listening to people's opinions. And I began to realize I'm going to take captive my own thoughts and allow my brain in God's direction to form my own opinions instead of living by other people's opinions. Right? Are y'all with me this morning? Okay. You brain dead? Okay. Stay with me here, okay? Take those thoughts captive. All right. No pun intended. So we track our thoughts. Then we take captive our thoughts. Then the third step is we train our thoughts. We have to train our thoughts. In the process of resetting or reprogramming or reinstalling your mind with the truth of God's Word, we begin to diligently, consistently, and constantly read Christian literature. We listen to Christian music. We meditate on God's Word. We internalize those things. We memorize Scripture. We confess sins. We sing songs. We pray. All those things. We begin to train our thoughts into the things of God until it begins to be the rule of our life. Then it begins to be the second nature of our life. It begins to be the dominant thoughts in our life. Paul writes again in Philippians chapter 4 in verse 8. Listen to what he says here. He says, Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. We begin to train our minds to the things of God. Paul kind of condensed that in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, he says, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. So we track our thoughts, we take captive our thoughts, and then we begin to train our thoughts. Dr. Carolyn Leaf says this in her book, Switch on Your Brain. She says this, she says, as we think, we change the physical nature of our brain. As we consciously direct our thinking, we can wire out toxic patterns of thinking and replace them with healthy thoughts. You've heard the medical reports of people who have had some type of brain injury, and through the process of healing, that the portion of the brain that was damaged, that controlled certain parts of their body, the brain began to heal itself, and it redirected that activity to another portion of the brain, and they were able then to relearn that function because a different part of the brain began to take over that. That's what we need to do. We need to retrain our brain into thinking on the things of God. And so this process, it's a very disciplined process. This doesn't just happen. You have to put forth the effort of taking your thoughts captive, or tracking your thoughts and taking your thoughts captive and then training your thoughts. But when we think about this process, not only is it a disciplined process, but it's also a daily process. Trench defines renewal as the gradual transforming of the man more and more to the new spiritual world into which he has been introduced, and in which now he lives, moves, and the restoration of the divine image. You see, it's not something that, July the 3rd, 2022, I was at church and I heard Pastor Bill talking about renewing your mind. And I made up my mind this morning that I was going to renew my mind. And I walked out of church that morning with a renewed mind. It doesn't just happen in one instance. Your brain didn't get like your brain is overnight. And it won't get renewed overnight. Okay? It takes time. It's a daily process. It's a continuous process. So therefore, it's a serious thing. We're constantly and continually and will be for the rest of our life becoming something other than what we were. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, he says, therefore, do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed. What? Day by day. Day by day. Not just in one instance. So Paul gives the emphasis here in this in two ways. First, he says, and we find this in the very tense of the verb, to be being renewed, that our inward man is being renewed. It is a present tense verb. It means something, it's an action that is being constantly repeated over and over and over again. Every morning you have to wake up with that determination. Today, I am going to put forth the effort to track my thoughts, to take captive my thoughts, and to train my thoughts. One of my prayers is, God, I pray that you would just help me to think today. God, even in my subconscious, even when I am driving down the road and I'm daydreaming, watch out if you see me on the road. Sometimes I'm not paying attention, okay? I'm daydreaming. And I pray, God, even guide my daydreams. Just my unconscious thoughts. Help me to do that, God. But you know what? There's some days I don't ask God to guide my unconscious thoughts. And I may go 2 or 3 days and go, you know what? I really haven't tracked my thoughts very much lately. I've just kind of let my mind go out there on its own sometimes. And so it's this process of learning how to do that to where it becomes second nature. But becoming second nature doesn't just happen in one instance. It has to be something that we work on every day. And we allow the Holy Spirit to renew that work every day as we walk in the Spirit. And then second, this little phrase, day by day, it kind of gives us some insight to the divine method that God uses. This day-to-day process kind of reminds me of the children of Israel. Remember when the children of Israel were led out of captivity? That they were in captivity in Egypt. God led them out of captivity. And then they get to the Red Sea and they cross the Red Sea. They're over in the wilderness. And they start complaining, we don't have anything to eat. And God tells Moses, okay, in the morning when you get up, there's going to be manna from heaven. Go tell everybody to collect everything they need for the day. Don't get more, just get what you need for the day. Some of them didn't trust God. They went out and they got more than what they needed for the day, right? And they put some aside. And the next morning, it had maggots in it, okay? It was no good. And they learned, we'll get just enough for the day. Jesus, when he taught us to pray, he said, pray like this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then he says, give us this day our daily bread. So this day-by-day process is this concept that God gives us day by day what we need. You can't be transformed from where you are today to where God will have you eternally in one instance. It's the process that we call in the church world sanctification. It's the process that we go through, and that is a daily process. Every day, as I think about what I'm thinking about, every day as I take my thoughts into captivity, every day as I read God's Word, as I meditate on God's Word, and I allow God then to train my thoughts. And then the next day, I do a little more. And the next day, I do a little more. Somebody once told me that the problem with the Christian life, the very reason that it's so hard is because it's so doggone daily. Right? If being a Christian, if we were measured, if our Christianity was measured by how well we're a Christian on Sunday mornings, we'd all be great Christians, right? But it's the fact that being a follower of Christ requires us to be a follower of Christ, not only on Sunday, but it's those Mondays that get us, right? And Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays as well. And so it's that daily challenge. The Christian life is so hard because it's so daily. And listen, so it's not something that's going to go away. It's not going to be something one day where we just go, okay, I'm finally through with that. We was talking to some of our young people this morning, and we were talking about, you know, where we are in life and that sort of thing. They're in school, and I'm thinking, you know, one day they're going to be out of school. They have something to look forward to, right? And then they get a job, and they work for the rest of their life, right? Hey, that's how it is in our walk with Christ. When we become followers of Jesus, it's a daily walk. It's a daily process. Ben Hogan, one of the greatest golfers to ever live, regardless of what everybody else might say. Ben Hogan, one of the greatest golfers that ever lived, said this. He said, every day that I miss practicing takes me a day longer to get better. Every day that you miss taking your thoughts captive, every day that you don't track your thoughts, every day that you don't work to train your thoughts, it's a day further than having your mind renewed and being transformed. It's a daily process. It's a discipline process. And lastly, it's a divine process. Now, so far you're thinking, how do I do this? This sounds hard. I can't even make a good grocery list, much less my thoughts, you know. Here's how you do it. You allow God to do it. You allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through you. This phrase here, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's important that you get this, okay? I struggle with English, okay? That's probably a given at this point. When I went to college, I loved English so much I had to take an extra course just to qualify to go to college. Confession's good for the heart sometimes. 14 years later, when I went back to seminary, I liked that class so much I took it again. So, nevertheless. But sentence structure is important, I learned. And so when we look at this sentence and it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, it's important to know that this is written in the passive tense, meaning that you cannot do it yourself. Listen, if you could do it yourself, this phrase would read like this, and transform your minds. That is, you transform your minds. It's not what he says. He says, be transformed. How do you be transformed? You are transformed by the power of God in your life. You are transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Bible says that our minds cannot be renewed unless the Holy Spirit is involved. In fact, one of the ways that we know that this word renewed in this application can only be used in this, or that's being used in this sense, is because it's only used one other time in Scripture. And that's over in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. You can't save yourself. You can't be good enough to be saved. We are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest one of us would be proud and start boasting about it. And just as you cannot save yourself, you cannot renew yourself. Let me put it in today's vernacular. You don't have enough willpower to change your mind. You don't have enough willpower to have your mind renewed only through the power of the Holy Spirit. Alexander McLaurin says this, if we have ever been honest in the attempt that the power of self-improvement is limited by the very narrow bounds, any man that has ever tried to cure himself of the most trivial habit which he desires to get rid of or to alter in the slightest degree the set of some strong taste or current of his being knows how little he can, even by the most determined effort, change himself. We don't have the power to do it. Rhonda and I, when we moved here a year ago, we moved into one of the condos downtown on Washington Street. 7-8 months later, we bought a house and we began this renovation project and we moved into this home. I had not lived downtown very long. But even at that, there were times when I left this church and I drove downtown, only to realize I don't live there anymore. That's how little control we have of changing our own habits. We have to allow the power of God to work in and through us. Jeremiah put it this way in Jeremiah 13 and verse 22. He says, if you say in your heart, why have these things come upon me? For the greatness of your iniquity, your skirts have been uncovered, your heels made bare. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may you also do good who are accustomed to doing evil. Jeremiah says, a leopard can't change his spots, Ethiopian can't change his skin, and you can't change yourself, friend. You can't quit doing evil and start doing good on your own. You do not have the willpower in yourself. You do not have the mental capacity in yourself to stop doing evil and start doing good apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. And I would say, even with the power of the Holy Spirit, I struggle. Amen? Come on. Really? Let's be honest with ourselves this morning. So what is our role? Our role then is to be submissive to the process that God wants to use to change us. We're to be serious about it. It's this ongoing thing. And yet we're to be submissive. Our role is just to say, Lord, I'm going to read your word so that the Spirit of God has something to work with. And I'll be submissive to the work that you're doing in my life. God, I'm gonna put myself in a position. I'm going to read your word. I'm going to begin to track my thoughts. God, I'm going to begin to pray that you help me to take captive my thoughts. And God, through your word, I'm going to allow you to begin to train my thoughts. And God, as I position myself, I allow the Holy Spirit to do his work then into renewing my mind and transforming my life. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says this. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. You need some peace in your life? The way we have peace in our life is to have our minds stay on the things of God. Proverbs 3 says, lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord, and He will guide your paths, right? So, here's what we do this week. Here's your homework assignment this week. Okay? You renew your mind. You begin to renew your mind, or you begin to allow having your mind renewed by taking a break. See, if you keep filling your mind with the same thing this week that you filled your mind last week with, you're going to get the same thing you got. So you've got to break that cycle. Quit listening to the things that you've been listening to. I have a television. I love to watch sports. I like certain shows. So I'm not anti-television, okay? I've heard preachers stand up, get rid of your TVs, throw them out in the yard, all those kind of things, you know? And then you drive by their house and you see something flickering through the window and you're thinking, looks like he's watching TV to me, you know? I'm not anti-television, but I'm just telling you, it might do you some real good if you just turn it off this week. Or at least turn off the news. Dare I say, turn off the soap operas. Y'all still watch those things? I don't know. Turn those things off, okay? Turn off those things that have been bombarding your mind. And then this week, you think, well, what am I going to do with all that time? Here's what you do. Spend some time in God's Word. And just maybe try to memorize one Bible verse this week. John 11:35 says, Jesus wept. There's a good one, right? Now, just begin to try to memorize maybe a Bible verse. And by capturing those negative thoughts, and then submit yourself to the Holy Spirit. Say, God, here's my mind. God, I gave you my heart. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. God, I've given you rule of my life. I've given you rule of my heart. I've given you rule of my spirit. I've given you rule of my soul. Now, God, I give you my mind. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Father God, today we love you. We're grateful for the morning. God, thank you for the challenge of your word. And God, that challenge is ever fresh. God, it seems as though when I get to those points in my life where I maybe feel a little self-confident, God, to think that I'm thinking godly. God, that I'm reminded of how weak-minded I really am. So God, my prayer, my desire this morning is, God, that I be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And God, I pray this morning for my friends. God, I pray this morning, God, that they would be transformed by allowing you the power to renew their minds. God, that they would position themselves, God, submitting themselves to you. God, to change their minds, to change their hearts, to transform their lives. And so, Father, this morning, we give ourselves to you. God, we want to love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. God, that you might be magnified and glorified, even in our thoughts. Father, we love you and we ask you all this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. This morning, maybe for some of you, that first step is to just simply give your heart to Christ. You think, Pastor, this sounds almost impossible that God could change my mind. You know what I have found? Until God changes your heart, you'll never allow Him to change your mind. This morning, have you allowed God to change your heart? This morning, would you just simply say, God, today, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord. Be the King of my life this morning, Lord. God, do a work of transformation in me today. Maybe today your church membership is somewhere else. Man, we'd love to have you come be a part of what God's doing right here at Trinity. Maybe today you want to just come to the altar and say, God, here's my mind. God, I'm laying it at the altar. God, it's yours. Have your way. This morning, Mike's going to come lead us in a hymn of invitation. Would you come this morning? Without waiting, without hesitating, as we stand and as we sing, would you come right here this morning, right now today, you come.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior. Savior calling.
platform for just a moment. Again, we want to thank you for being with us today. Guest, it's always a privilege and an honor to have you. We've met several today, family that's in for the holidays, things like that. So we're grateful that you've come to worship with us today. Come back and be with us again. Doesn't have to be a special day, just any day, right? And grateful for those that have watched online. Grateful for those that have been listening this morning on B105.5. And pray this morning that God will just give you a heart, give you a desire to have your mind renewed and your life transformed. I want to introduce you to some new friends this morning of ours. Come on, Mr. Robert, Ms. Faye, can you make it? I tell you, what a great testimony. Mr. Robert was been in the hospital for 42 days, not that he was counting. And through that process, God did a work. I was up there visiting with him one day, and he said, Brother Bill, he said, when I'm able to walk out of here, he said, I'm going to walk down the aisle and I'm going to join the church. And I said, well, that sounds like a good goal. And this morning, he has been a man of his word. And we're glad to have them this morning. He and Ms. Faye come this morning wishing to unite and be a part of our family here at Trinity and the church. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. We rejoice. Now listen, we're going to do something a little different this morning. Mr. Robert still recuperating, and so really can't stand very long. And just got out of the hospital, okay? Just got out of the hospital, so we want to give him a little space, okay? So if you want to walk by and wave and say welcome, that sort of thing, please do that. Just try not to hug and shake hands and all those kind of things, okay? Give him a holy high, okay? Give him a holy high, all right? And come by and let them know how much you appreciate them coming and being a part here, okay? All right, hey, let's stand this morning. We're going to be dismissed. I pray you have a great day tomorrow. Enjoy your day off and celebrate. Next Sunday, July the 10th, we will be, our small groups will start meeting again that Sunday night. Mr. William, Mr. James's class will be meeting, and then our other groups will be meeting and doing some things. But then after our small groups are together, then we're going to get back out and we're going to eat some ice cream and just cake or whatever you bring, and we'll have a good time. Just a time of fellowship, okay? And so be prepared. Come and share next Sunday night for that. And Ms. Barbara, we don't have any restrictions. Like, there's no, we can eat all we want, and there's no regulations to say that you cannot bring homemade ice cream, right?
Homemade, or you can buy school box.
Okay.
You can bring dessert, or just come have a good time.
Amen.
I'm sure we will have
food. Bring an appetite and bring a friend, right? All right, good stuff. Good stuff. Hey, let's be dismissed this morning. We're going to sing this morning, and I pray God blesses you richly this week. What are we going to sing, Mike?
America.
That's it.
Shine.